Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watching. As you all have hopefully been noticing, we actually won a few ball games this week, so we're hopefully going to have a little bit more upside this evening's discussion instead of what we've been dealing with over the last few weeks, which has been a very weird opportunity with the Blue Jays and trying just to get them going again. And we had some more fun things to talk about with Jose Bautista last week than we did over the regular turning of the team. But here we are a week later, and it's amazing what a week of difference would do. So joining me, as always, my co-host Ken Alfred. How we doing, my friend?
I am doing well. Happy Monday, everybody.
And would you like to introduce your friend this evening?
Yes, we have a very special guest. We have Graham Jackson, if you can see to the right here.
Hello.
Yes, he is actually
on.
Yeah, he is actually a fellow coach. We actually coached the same Little League team to the finals of the Under-9 Rookie Championships. We just fell a little bit short this season, but I know we were very happy that with the team performed all together, but Graham is a very special guest because not just that, he actually works for the Toronto Blue Jays as well. So very special, very glad to have him here.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Graham, as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays maintenance team and everything, it sounds like you had a pretty good seat the other day for some certain Jose Bautista fun that was going on in the field. Tell us, how was that?
Well, eventful. A lot of lead up, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of different people involved to make that all come together. But it all went off without a hitch. Came off extremely well. Could it have started a little bit earlier, perhaps? Could we have, I was thinking he would have had maybe like a mic flip, bat flip with a mic flip, but he didn't.
That was like the one thing we didn't think of last week. Oh my God. That's perfect.
I was going around to everybody. I was like, he's doing the mic flip. He's doing the mic flip, but no such luck there.
Yes.
But, it's been good. I've been with the Blue Jays for, not quite 10 years, 8 years or so. It was actually a change of career paths. I was a professional golfer and a golf instructor, toured around Canada and, Eastern, U.S. And then, certain, accident happened and changed, course and got involved with the Blue Jays and worked my way up through like the visitors clubhouse, worked there, for a couple of seasons. And, now I'm doing field maintenance, exterior maintenance, and here we are. coaching Little League baseball in the summer and just living the dream.
There you go.
Too perfect. So in the midst of all the things that you did get to see, obviously, this past weekend, last week we talked extensively, and Ken, seeing you missed the show last week too, I'm going to give you this opportunity. We made the assumption that everybody's favorite Jose Bautista moment is obviously the bat flip heard around the world at this point, but most Blue Jays fans tend to have that other opportunity, or like that they just, it's that moment that speaks to them about Jose Bautista throughout his career. I call out the one that I happened to be up on the Canada Day weekend when Roy Halladay was making his first pitching opportunity against the Blue Jays as a Philadelphia Philly, and Bautista takes some yards. Kind of felt like a changing of the guard kind of thing. So I didn't know if either of you had that moment you wanted to discuss on the Jose Bautista thing and get on the actions, or had that distinct memory that stood out to you.
Graham, you want to go or do you want me to go first?
Well, you know, I got my first memory, you know, he comes into the squad or whatever. He comes onto the squad and he, you know, he's never too happy and he's always quite vocal, you know, come trade deadline. He's always demanding more. He's a great worker. He's a student of the game. And I just always remembered his work ethic and what he would do, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing, and how he would prepare himself and get ready for his at-bats and his defensive assignments and all that sort of stuff. I forget if it was like, I think it was probably 2014. The Jays didn't do anything at the deadline. He made his opinions felt. And then 15, 16 kind of, you know, the script wrote itself. You know, we all know what happened there or whatever, right? So.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And thankfully, the script finally changed on that because it was getting old for 13, 14, so on and so forth before that. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't hear a lot. You know, you hear about the work ethic and everything, but knowing the fact that you had that piece to go with that from behind the scenes a little bit, it's very cool to know about. Ken?
Yeah, I'd say he was like the captain who put that whole 15 and 16, you know, like he was the catalyst behind that group.
Yeah, he was a spark. He was a spark, which kind of leads into my favorite. Well, one of my favorite memories is, for some fans, they're not going to like it. It's when, you know, when he got punched by what's that guy's name from the Texas Rangers?
Odor.
Ruben Odor.
Odor.
Odor. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing.
The only reason I like that memory is because it made it seem so much sweeter when he hit that home run, the bat flip that we're all talking about. So that's it. I saw that was kind of like the moment that's okay. We're gonna have to really smash the Rangers after that, and of course we did, and it just made it oh so sweet, getting that extra pause after that flip.
So in the midst of that whole thing, Ken, why am I thinking in your head? You're picturing that guy that was holding up the sign in the outfield in that second October post bat flip. It's better to get punched in what, you know, July rather than September or October, like I said. And, you know, at that point, they punched the ticket for the Rangers and knocked them out of the playoffs for the second year in a row.
so
it makes
sweet.
It very, very fun.
Love it.
So, but yeah, like I said, I don't want to go too diving too far down that hole. I think we spent basically the whole 45 minutes of our 1 hour show last week talking nothing but Jose Bautista, because like I said, there was so much fun going on, and keyword fun, last week going on. So, it's amazing what a few off days can do for a team, because the Blue Jays up until a week from today, they had 17 games in a row, guys, that they had been playing and trucking through just the attrition level of battling to hope and pray that they can come on top of that. And for that part, they played pretty well. Mixed batch, I guess. 500 baseball over those 17 games, which isn't the worst thing in the world, especially when you're seeing teams like the Yankees just kind of dropping off existence, which is making this New Yorker very happy. But at this point, it's like, what is going to happen for the rest of the season for this team? And I think we started seeing the answer this past week just a little bit. And it all started in that Phillies series where they found a way to dig in and start being a little bit grittier than they were over the last few weeks. You know, that was a tough two games against the Phillies, but nothing got ever out of hand. They managed to take one away from them and kept right in the ship a little bit, it felt like. But, Graham, did you watch any of these games over the last week against Philadelphia, in Philadelphia, to that point where you started seeing something maybe trending in the Blue Jays' direction?
And what did we see?
Yeah. So, yeah, we split the with the Phillies.
Oh,
split with the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah. No, the the Phillies match was
one
in
game over the week.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just thinking. You know, it's a short-term memory here, right? So Cincinnati was just in town. We're just in Cincinnati, so it's, you know, that is fresh on the mind.
That's fine. Yep. So it's probably not the worst thing in the world that you put a 4-9 loss out of your way.
Yeah.
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 And like I said, I'll just save it. Yeah. Because it seemed like, yeah, we're getting the momentum that we were talking about before. We're playing, we're winning series, we're splitting series. And I think that's what the most important thing was. With that Philadelphia series there, yeah, we squeaked out a victory in game one. Unfortunately, we didn't do very well in game two. But it's nice to see how that momentum suddenly just brought us where we're now suddenly taking 2 or 3 from the Reds, which, you know, and that awesome play that I saw, I think, even though we lost from Vlad with that really cool double play that I've never, ever seen. And Graham, I wonder if that's a technique we can probably try on the team if we get to be coaching them next year, is to purposely let the foul ball, let the pop-up drop just to get a double play out of it.
Yeah. Where's the whatever happened to the infield fly rule?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In all reality, I think it was were there two runners on, that would be the catch, right? I think there was only a runner on first base. Yeah. So the rule for the infield fly is two runners on and less than two outs for it to be active, right? So if the guy basically didn't go halfway on that ball like he should have, right? That I'm sure you guys as little league coaches beat that into their heads, right? The ball's in the air. Make sure you take a few steps and halfway if you can, you know? But so that ball just, he goes, I'm going to drop it. So at that point, he just like tagged him and boom, boom, right? Two outs.
I love the fact when people thought he actually misplaced the ball on purpose, or not purpose, they just didn't catch it. You hear the crowd actually cheering that whole thing. But it was funny how we all got the last laugh for that. You know, because he didn't even react to the point like, oh, it's more like, yep, drop, pick it up, throw him out. And then they had to chase him down. They chased the runner down just to complete the play. So I'm surprised more players don't do that, actually. I guess it depends, like you said, on the infield fly rule. So it has to be less than two outs. That's correct?
Yes. Okay. So infield fly is active when there's two runners on and less than two outs. And it's to exactly protect against that play. Mm. It was a rule constituted in Major League Baseball, which then eventually, you know, cascaded its way all the way down to the little leagues of the world. And it's meant to just make sure that the runners don't run all over the place is one part. And then the other part is to give them a little bit of level protection so they can stay closer to the, you know, base that they were on and not be forced to run and then get in the pickle between the two bases. Yeah.
Wow.
As much as a guy likes, I would love a good hot box and go a little old school Sandlot. Many of those anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah. So that was a different play. It definitely was. And to that point, watching the Cincinnati Reds series, first off, I don't know what you guys thought of the Cincinnati Reds, but that's an impressive young ball club for as many guys as they have in the injured list right now. Hunter Green from the injured list over the last few weeks. The Blue Jays tagged him, got him for how many runs, I think, yesterday? They eventually scored and win 10-3, but they beat him up pretty well.
Five dingers, coupled by Bell. Quite impressive. And they're you know, good NL team battling it out for a playoff spot. They were they had the division not that long ago, but their young stud De La Cruz, he's cooled off a bit as of late. But over the weekend in that series, yeah, that inside the park homer there, right? Biggio kind of misplayed that one. But
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he's something else.
That kid's going to be something fun to watch for the next years. And I think it's hilarious. I don't know if you all heard it during the broadcast or anything, but they were saying that he almost gave up baseball about a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah, it was the same ballpark story as what they would say that David Schneider said about a few years ago. It's like, you know, I would have never had this major league debut because I actually was this close until he had the right coach finally say something to him and said, "Nope, you got this. Don't worry about it." It built his confidence up enough to, you know, get through that point in his career where he wanted, you know, was thinking this way, and they turned him around and got him going back to going toward his major league baseball career. And that's a story that happens. And Graham, I'm sure you can say this with your golf career and everything. There's a point where things just come to that question, and it can be any age. It doesn't matter when it is.
You got that right. Yeah. It doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter what level you're at, whether you're in the show or on the PGA Tour or battling it out in single A, double A, you're going to have your adversity. You're going to have your times when you're unable to miss. You hit everything, and then there's going to be times when you are unable to hit the broadside of a barn.
And that's baseball for you.
You know, it's just, it comes down to the love of the game.
So in the midst of this whole thing, though, I just thought that was a really crazy story to hear, because you've heard nothing but this kid setting the world on fire since he's come up to the major leagues for the Cincinnati Reds. And honestly, he's probably a big reason that they're in the playoff race right now. As far as it sits, I had it in front of me, but of course I lost it. The Cincinnati Reds are sitting a game out of the third wildcard spot right now in the National League, and they're in a weird division where they actually still have a chance at the division because the National League Central is just, yeah, the National League Central. The Milwaukee Brewers are a whole four games ahead of them for the division right now. So they're in perfect striking distance, and honestly, I thought this was a nice little test for the Blue Jays here that haven't really known what they have a little bit over the last few weeks. Didn't do a lot of the trade deadline to, you know, bolster this team and really move in the right direction. But I don't know what you're thinking, Ken, but do you think that after that series with the Cincinnati Reds that was a playoff contender, I would say on the bottom side of the playoff contention, if you're looking at the playoffs as a whole, but the fact that this is a playoff team that they beat up a little bit.
Well, yeah, that definitely gives us more confidence in that we're playing like really playoff worthy teams. And it's funny because we actually have a question on YouTube, actually, and it's the exact same question. You mind if I share that there?
Go for it, my friends.
All right. So we have Doug Peters to say, "Hey, guys, do you think the Jays will end up in the playoffs this year, sitting just outside the wild card at the moment? Thanks." Well, thanks for the question, Doug. And I definitely think at this point that, knock on wood, we don't get any key injuries. And as long as we're playing, we're splitting series and we're winning some series here and there, I can definitely see the Jays making the playoffs this year. As like I said, as long as we're still performing the way which I know we can perform, I don't see why not. Like, what about you guys?
Graf?
Yeah, Bo Bichette coming back. We haven't had this lineup together since the end of July, I believe. July 28th, July 30th. The starting rotation, we got five absolute, workhorses, five studs right now. Ryu has come back. Nobody could have imagined he would have come back, half of this effective. You get into the first round of the playoffs, you need three starters, not five. The Blue Jays management is smart. And, we didn't overpay. We didn't overreact. The market wasn't suitable for what we couldn't make anything work. Everything was too expensive for us. And we found gold in David Schneider. With him coming back, there's just going to be this ferociousness, this fearlessness, and, they're not going to leave anything behind. Maybe Seattle has an easier schedule. And they're inside right now, but they also have a worse roster than us as well. And Houston isn't playing good baseball right now. So, yeah, we'll get in. Now we'll get in with a sixth playoff spot. We'll play Minnesota on the road. We'll sweep Minnesota on the road, and then we'll let the rest figure it out.
I like that.
Yep.
And that's it. Yeah, we couldn't ask for a better first round playoff matchup going on the road to Minnesota.
There you go. I like it. So in the midst of that, you brought up a really, really, really good point here in the fact that it more or less took a resurgent Seattle Mariners team to even be the team that knocked us out of that third wild card. They have won 6 games straight, guys. Is that sustainable would be the question. And I think Graham hit the nail right on the head there that I don't know. And I think it's going to come down to their pitching at the end of the day to be the reason that they do well or not. Because I think they have just enough offense and they seem to pick each other up well.
Yeah.
But to that point, nobody's really running away in that lineup on that right thing either. So it's very, it honestly sounds a little too familiar for what we're all experiencing. We're waiting for somebody to really just catch fire and click right now. And I think that this person could be Bo Bichette. You know, he was hitting on all cylinders for the Blue Jays beforehand. I still think it's hilarious that he missed how many weeks, but he's still leading the American League in hits. Just shows how far ahead he was. So I think it's crazy to that point. And then I think in the midst of our own division, too, we're seeing the what's really happening. We have the New York Yankees who can't stay healthy to save their lives. And their flat out locker room issues are outpouring, I think, worse than what's going on with Pete Alonso and the Mets throwing people's first Major League Baseball hits into the stands the other night. I don't know if anybody saw that highlight, but that was a little odd for somebody as his tenured as Pete Alonso is. The Boston Red Sox aren't going away, but, you know, they're still far enough in the rear view menu here. And I think that they, you know, at least that one we have the luxury of controlling our own destiny against with the Boston Red Sox. Outside, unfortunately, the Seattle Mariners and the, you know, Houston Astros and or the Texas Rangers, basically, at this point, however that slices out at the end of the day between them, that's the other piece we have to worry about. Nobody's worried about the Anaheim Angels anymore. Nobody's worried about the Cleveland Guardians after the last few weeks. It's starting to find out what the hell the race is going to be here for September and see where everything's going, I think, at this point. And to that point, I think the Blue Jays are in a really good seat to be able to be that playoff team that we're hearing. And I like that idea of playing the Twins first round. I'm not opposed to that at all because we play pretty good baseball against the Minnesota Twins.
Go Twins.
So
yeah. Just do enough to make it. So.
Yep. So one thing I definitely don't want to play is I don't want to be the one that plays Tampa Bay right on the first round or if the Orioles. But on that point, Tampa Bay's roster has changed a lot over the last few weeks, if you two know what I'm putting down. But we'll see what happens. Unfortunately, I definitely don't feel like playing the Baltimore Orioles anytime soon. And guess who we get to play tomorrow, guys?
I was going to say, I'm like, they've been like the biggest pain in our tuchus for the entire season so far.
But think of what we have going into this series that the Baltimore Orioles haven't seen from us. We have Danny Jansen's healthy and back. So we have both of our catchers. We have what you had mentioned a moment ago. Hyunjin Ryu is on fire. Now that he's coming back, he's clearly got something to prove, and you can see it that he wants to do it. And I think the Blue Jays are only ones reaping all the benefits for that as he's going into his free agent here with the Blue Jays. Bo Bichette is back. Yes, Vladdy is technically possibly on the shelf for a little bit here, but it's finger contusion, middle finger contusion apparently is the exact injury that we were all three of us chit-chatting about before here.
Fingernails,
specific. Guys. But to that point, we saw Brandon Belt starting to get hot, and maybe that's what the difference is over here in the next few days, or the fact that we have seen Alejandro Kirk actually hitting his weight over the last few weeks. There's been a lot of good
things over the last few weeks. Pretty well.
That one's the one that impressed me the most, I think, over the last few weeks, is the fact that he actually is just stringing good bats together, period. It's not just even getting a hit or hitting a home run like he's done over the last week. Have you guys noticed the fact that he just seems more confident in the box over the last week?
Absolutely. He still can bunt to get on if he needs to, but he still can swing the heavy stick, which, you know, I'm just very happy with in terms of the Jays offense this year about how it's really well distributed amongst a bunch of the main roster players, right? It's not just like, okay, this guy has 30 runs and then the next one's like 10. You got like distributions of like all like four or five players that are in the teens already in the home run range. So we're getting a nice, well-balanced offense that I'm seeing right now. And as long as those bats can stay involved, and especially with Jensen coming off sometimes the bench as well, I'm like, wow, we got a lot of firepower. But I don't think anyone really gives us a lot of credit for. I think everyone just sees Vlad, they see Bo, and these are the outside players. Outside teams that look at the Jays and say, oh, it's only Bo and Vlad. But we got so many other weapons on this team that if you fall asleep on us, we have other guys that can really hit the ball out of the park.
In the midst of this, like I said, we got the Baltimore Orioles this week, tomorrow through Thursday. And then we get to go back home, so Graham can hang out with the team more often for the next week. They get to play the Cleveland Guardians and the Washington Nationals. So we're going from a very, very good team to two sub 500 teams. So that's one of the nice things we're finally getting in our schedule here. And then that only continues as we, after the homestand here, we get to play the Colorado Rockies and the Oakland A's over the following week after that. So there's finally, guys, a little chance here for them to get healthy, beat up on some teams, get that swagger back, and then take it to the Rangers, Red Sox, Yankees, and the Rays to end the season. I know it seems weird saying it, but we're not that far away.
But, no, I don't think we are.
We're waiting on Graham. What are you thinking over the next week here as far as that piece goes? Do you think the Blue Jays can do some dirty damage against the Orioles? Through it, maybe get their swagger going a little bit just to get them moving in the right direction for the playoff push. Take something to Baltimore over the next few days in Baltimore by you.
Yes.
And then hopefully coast into all these four series in a row where they get to play against sub 500 teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know what? Like I said, Baltimore has been a pain in our side for the longest time. So I think if we can take the momentum we just got from beating like a playoff ready team like the Cincinnati Reds, then I think we'll make it a lot more difficult for the Orioles this year, or at least for this next series or so. So I'm hoping we win at least a couple of games out of the next one. It's not going to be easy, but it's not impossible. And then hopefully once that series is done, like you said, Cleveland, Washington, hopefully by that point, Vlad's middle finger will be back and he'll be hitting well. And, give the guys some much needed chance to flex their offensive muscle again before we start playing, Texas and Boston and stuff near the middle of September.
They need to get that confidence back to the point where they're just oozing it. And I think they'll be able to run through everything that they would ever imagine hit them over the last few weeks of the season. Graham, we were talking the fact that we are going to be playing the Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards in the next few days. It's Grayson Rodriguez versus Yusei Kikuchi. And then we have, Gausman versus Jack Flaherty. And then we have Jose Berríos from Jack Kramer. So we're facing a good chunk of the rotation for the Baltimore Orioles. I can't believe that Kramer's got 11 wins. It just shocks me, but that just shows how well the Baltimore Orioles have been playing all season. Do you think the Blue Jays are going to be able to, I think with those pitching matchups, there's going to be some really good games. Do you think the Blue Jays are going to be able to maybe take two out of three against the Orioles? Or do you think we're unfortunately still waiting for that right thing to click?
The Blue Jays have been a Jekyll and Hyde kind of team all season, right? Just when you think everything is, all systems go, and we have so many assets that turns into a problem. How are we going to use all the arms in the bullpen? When you look at Romano, Hicks, Garcia. A good thing to have, the Orioles are in a situation right now where they're in the playoffs. They have a young roster, a great roster, phenomenal roster, but we have a phenomenal roster now too. We've put ourselves in this situation, just like Baltimore's put themselves in their situation. We got to capitalize. We got to win. Like Bo Bichette, said today or yesterday, we got to play fearless, and it's their time. I'm quite confident that you look at the schedule; it doesn't look too favorable for us.
game too.
It doesn't look too favorable for us for the you know, last month and the last closing stretch here, but we'll see.
Short term things are looking good though. We get by, you know, the Warriors, we have a collective amount of games, four series in a row where we get to beat up on some people.
Yeah. And, you know, every day we've had a different person coming through for us. It's not always the Bobichet show. It's not always the Chapman or the Springer show. You know, we have two catchers who, you know, are arguably all stars and, you know, who can DH, you know, well. Excuse me. We have Kevin Biggio's been doing great lately. We've talked about Varsho. Kiermaier, our nine hitter. It's just like, you know, on any given night, any one of, you know, and when all of these guys start, you know, gelling and going, then, oh, baby, well, look out.
No, I tend to agree with you on that part. It still seems like nothing's clicked 100% this whole season. And I think all Blue Jays fans are going to be the ones that say why this, even though we're sitting at 69-56, doesn't feel comfortable. Nothing feels right. We haven't seen the tear that we were assuming this team was eventually going to go on. Ken, I'm starting to think that this is what the next few weeks look for, like, for the Blue Jays. And it would be a hell of a statement for the Blue Jays to be the ones that started against the Baltimore Orioles in Camden Yards and watch them really just truck through the next few weeks. They need that, I think, because to what Graham was saying, after that little break we get in the schedule, it is nothing but business. And especially if they lay a few eggs over the next few weeks, it's going to be harder over that stretch.
Yeah. I mean, we need to pad our record as much as we can to improve our, you know, position in the wild card spot right now, right? So we need to really make sure we have as much wins as we can. Like, if you remember our first episode, our preseason prediction, my thing was 95. That was my estimate that the number of wins we're going to get this year. So in order to do that, we need to really sure we get some good quality wins. Though I think once we hit the second half of September, though, that's when we have to start thinking about it. Okay, we're going to have to treat all those games like it's a freaking playoff game almost, right? Because it matters for a lot of these ones. We're playing harder teams. They're not going to make it easy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For us, and even though we like to make fun of the Yankees and some of the other people, they can still win, right? In some way, shape, or form, they can play spoiler to us, and we got to make sure if we do not take our foot off the gas and just hesitate for a second, we're going to be in trouble. And then we're going to be fighting for our lives to try to make the playoff, like the wild card berth, which is what we don't want.
Yeah, we definitely don't need to get into any foot races, but at this point, I don't know how we don't get into anything bought a foot race with knowing how far the Tampa Bay Rays are ahead currently in that wild card race. They are 5 games ahead of the, you know, last place wild card person right now. So they are 5 games ahead of us right now, currently in this wild card race to be the top seed in the wild card. And then after that, obviously, it's anybody's game because everybody's within a half game of each other right now. And I don't like, to that point, maybe the Seattle Mariners knock on desks, start falling off a little bit, and the pitching woes come through a little bit. But the Houston Astros are the reigning World Series champs, and we've seen them go on a tear already this season where everybody was starting to write them off or having too big of a hangover from celebrating last year to begin this season, and they found a way to turn it on about a month and a half into the ball game here. But to that point, I know how Jose Altuve got hurt again the other day. So is that the catalyst that started that whole uprising the first time and is going the wrong direction now again? I don't know. There's a lot of things that are going on in this race and pros and cons in the end of the day. But if you look at the way the stats and everything break out, there's a reason all those teams are right on top of each other and the Rays are the ones running away with it. Like, look at run differential, for example. The Rays have plus 161 runs to runs scored versus runs allowed this year. The Blue Jays are plus 62, and then the competition we're right there with is about the same. It makes sense that we're on top and jumbled into the teams that we are. But if you took a deep dive at those rosters, you know, Houston getting Verlander is really the difference, right? Seattle Mariners didn't add anything. They actually subtracted things during that, including their closer, Paul Sewald. I don't know what to think. I find it harder and harder to believe that we're not in this playoff race and not going to go on an extended run into October here in some fashion. No matter what way I slice all these fun things here on this stat sheet, but you guys tell me if I'm crazy or out of my mind or just too nostalgic or whatever it might be.
Oh, you're not crazy. You're not definitely not crazy on that one there, Craig.
A little bit?
Yeah.
No brains, no headache. Always been a family motto.
Yeah. So I think we have another YouTube comment here, actually. I don't know if I can share that really quickly here.
Or
from M. Brandt, why was Jeong released? Was he released?
He was released. Well, not technically released at this point. He has been designated for assignment, and he has so many days to either accept a minor league contract and report to the Blue Jays minor league teams or declare himself for free agency and get traded by the Toronto Blue Jays and slip through waivers.
He hasn't been performing very well from an offensive perspective at all. And for those listeners who are watching, you got three heads shaking their heads back and forth.
I think he had 3 hits since he came over.
I was expecting him to have crappy offense, but I was not expecting to be that bad. Yes, I think that's all he said.
Wow.
So
is there such a big jump from a National League to the American League or something? Or am I missing something? Or is it just he hasn't gelled with the team yet? Or is he just not know the system for the Jays? Or what is it?
It could be a combination of many things. But Graham, if you want to answer any of that before I dive in,
It's funny, you know, the Bichette injury couldn't have come at a worse time, on the eve of the trade deadline. And, you know, they didn't know the severity. They didn't have all the testing back yet. So, you know, they were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, they pushed the panic button, went out and they got Paul DeJong. You know, he has a good... He's had a good career in the show, World Series, St. Louis Cardinals, all that sort of stuff. He all comes with I'm not sure. Maybe you can correct me. A $12 or $16 million price tag for this year, next year, maybe a year after that. So you know, it's a head scratcher. It's a head scratcher.
He may have actually been
I'm not
free
too
agent.
Sure what they're remember. what they're thinking. I'm not. Yeah. But.
That was it was nothing but pulling the parachute ripcord, right? You like you said, you laid it out perfectly. Bobichette we had no idea what was going on. So you needed something and then this is what happened. They took one look at their bench and then they took one look at their minor league system and said, right? And not knowing what they might get out of that whole thing, they tried to take a chance on a guy at least that was major league ready and been playing major league baseball. And I don't know if you two remember or not, but he had an epic postseason not that long ago for the St. Louis Cardinals. I want to say it was like 2-3 years ago. Went off on a crazy thing against the Yankees. Yep, there it goes. And then in the comments here, against the Yankees. And but to that point, it was taking a chance on a guy that was already playing in the major leagues or bringing the hot hand up. And my personal reason on why Paul DeJong was being DFA'd, Davis Schneider. Period. So they're not going to take Biggio out. He's been playing better. They're not going to do anything with Santiago Espinal because they're in love with him. And then you look at the next spot that was going to be going is Davis Schneider. They could have sent him back an option, but I think they like the chemistry that he's brought to this ball club. He hasn't been doing what he did in Boston this first debut, but to that point, I think they are intrigued enough to let him ride on the bench right now and play enough games. And he's got some different positions too. So to complement Biggio and Espinal, he's a nice little throw-in. I really think that was what it ended up coming down to. They finally had that guy that they were like, oh, well, it's the same person. Get rid of the expensive guy and hope somebody will take him off our hands.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason why they're keeping Schneider right now is because of the stash. That's pretty much the main reason why they're keeping him. It's money and his glove, like we talked about in a couple episodes ago. And Phil, we have another follow-up comment from our buddy M. Grant here. And what do y'all think about Everson? I can't have pronounced it. Pariah being recalled by the Yankees.
That desperate.
A desperate call?
I gotta look up because didn't he already get a start? I can't remember. This is how much I've been following the Yankees lately.
Interesting on that.
But I didn't even realize they recalled him. Interesting. Yeah, look.
No.
Graham, do you have any update? Do you have any comments on this one here?
No, if it's not the Bluebirds, then
it's sometimes about 300 with 10 home runs in the minor leagues for the Yankees double A affiliate this year.
Okay.
Had another 8 for the triple A team, been 312.
Okay.
Like I said, at this point they're trying to find the hot hand. They still want a playoff berth. So I think that would be probably why they're calling it up, Mr. Brandt.
Yeah.
So
there we go. Thank you very much.
It'd be too easy if I had I miss the days when they used to have like those nice and right in your hands and you could find them. You can't find it anymore.
I am loving the communication that we're getting on the episode. So thank you listeners for really chiming in on this. You're definitely, you're making this episode so much more fun as well, which is a thing we want more of you guys to be commenting more while we're there. So we can really answer these questions live. And even if we have sometimes not much comment on it, we'll still get something about it. We'll still say something about it, right? So, yeah, thank you very much, everybody, so far for the questions.
And just to make sure everybody's aware of the brand that happens to be listening this evening, we have been marketing ourselves as the barroom drinking place for Toronto Blue Jays fans since the inception of this show. So make sure your voice is heard. All are welcome and all will be merry, or at least hopefully. We used to say that this would be the place that everybody would get to and everything is going well, everybody's cheering, everything's going bad, everybody, you hear the cans hitting the microphones and the TVs and everything, you know, this is how it would be.
Oh boy.
All good. So we were talking about that. So we do have the reinforcements, like I had mentioned, and we are going forward here. I don't know what you guys think, but out of the guys that are coming back, we have Romano back, Bichette, Jansen. Who do you think the Blue Jays needed the most to eventually get back to normal here and get into the promised land, which is the playoffs for this season? Graham, is there one of those guys that was to you that was like, you have to have this person back if we want to make anything serious out of it?
Well, if Bo Bichette's not part of the team, then the team doesn't have the identity. The team's not the team. So, you know, we won't have, it doesn't matter, Romano, there won't be any games to close. There won't be, you know what I mean? A guy who I'm really excited about is Chad Green, though.
Yep.
Right? We got him last offseason. He should be back this month. I think he'll be back in August. He had a little setback with that concussion down in Buffalo. He got trying to get the guy out at second, right? Catcher threw the ball out to second, got it into the head. So that sent him back in his rehab or whatever, but he's right on track now. The only thing he hasn't done, I think, is throw on consecutive days. And as soon as he does that, he'll be,
once he gets that.
So that should be hopefully this month. Mays has just been an absolute dud for us. Like, oh my gosh, has he carried a load for us this season? Woo! But, you know, getting another left-handed iron back there will be, a welcome relief.
Yes. So, Ken, when you're looking at the guys that have been injured over the last few weeks, obviously we have the vote for Bo Bichette, which I definitely cannot argue with, because at this point he is at least the swagger and the pop for this team. What are you thinking as far as looking at this lineup and who's back in it possibly? Bullpen or pitching, any of this kind of stuff. Who do you think was the most critical person we've gotten back over the last few weeks?
I'm trying to think of anyone else. So we had Romano, who's back. We had, you said Bichette, obviously.
I'll even give you Hyunjin Ryu, because that's been a major.
I was going to mention Ryu as well, because he's been performing well since he's been coming back. And, you know, I still think we have enough runway for him to really get back into the swing of things. And if he can show like the Ryu that we signed originally for, then, you know, that's really going to give us a lot more comfort. And we have such a plethora of starters already that if for some reason one of them just having an off night, right, you can just step in there and just pitch almost like what you said, 6+ innings if need be, right? So, you know, and he's coming back, and we're not throwing him in too deep right away, right? Like, can you imagine if he came back in September, like middle of September, we're playing all of the East League teams. You know, now that we have, you know, a little bit of a runway for him, I think it's going to give him an opportunity to really, really start to find his groove, and hopefully he'll be performing better for us as well. And, you know, that'll be one less thing we have to worry about. And we'll see about Manoah if he ever comes back as well. Like, when's Manoah starting next?
In Buffalo, probably tomorrow.
He's still in Buffalo?
Yeah. So, but yeah, they... And honestly, and with what Ryu has done and how he's come back to this team and what he's meant to this team since he's returned, don't bring him up. You don't need Manoah right now. You know, best case scenario right now for Manoah is that, you know, he's got to pitch his way into this bullpen right now to finish the season. And right now, honestly, that's not a bad thing for him to be doing. I think it would get his head right personally.
Yeah, less pressure from that.
Don't think meat, just throw. I quote one of my favorite baseball movies of all time.
And they could even take that approach with Vladdy. If it wasn't for the name on the back of the jersey, if it was any other name on the back of that jersey, where would he be playing his baseball right now? Not in Toronto. He has absolutely no plan or strategy at the plate. Am I swinging fastball? Am I swinging inside, outside, high, low? I don't care. I'm swinging at everything. You know, off speed, you know, so is he, you know, it's like, pick your poison, have a strategy, narrow the, you know, leave something and just focus on that particular zone.
Yeah.
But, you know, like go, and then that kind of ties us back to our other point, talking about how great our lineup is. Anybody can win on any given night. We have our catchers, we have Varsho, we have Biggio, you know, Kimar. So, you know, it's not like we're dependent and relying on him. Go get your stuff figured out and hope, you know, fingers crossed, you know, come October, here we go.
Ken, you and Jason are going to yell at me for the comment that I'm going to make as far as one of the outside of the two gentlemen that you guys have mentioned there, the big key person that's returned from the injured list and is back in this lineup. And Graham just mentioned him, very subtly slipped him into the end of the conversation there. And that's Kevin Kiermaier. Our defense is insane with Kevin Kiermaier playing center field. Absolutely. And then the fact that he is a sneaky catalyst. I gave him a bum rap at the beginning of this season for being hurt every 5 minutes. To that point, I wasn't completely wrong. He has been hurt a little bit more of late, but this is the longest and most games he's gotten into in the season in a long damn time. obviously a long truck, 162 game season, does come with bumps, bruises, you know, bruised fingers, whatever it might be at this time. So I'm not shocked that, but he's managed it insanely well. And this team does have a little bit more fun in their step, I think, when he's in that lineup. And he's that extra piece to the point here. Obviously, Bo Bichette can't live without him if we can try. Ryu has been a godsend joining this lineup because he doesn't need to be anything other than a fifth starter, guys, right now. And we're getting the guy that is pitching like a second or third starter in a rotation right now. That is nothing but a win. But having another guy like Kiermaier to make sure you spin that lineup back up to the new foundation up at the top of this lineup, which is Whit Merrifield, who continues to do insanely well, has only made this team that much better. So it's going to be interesting to see where things go over the next few weeks with that kind of a lineup being trucked out there every day.
So should we start ordering the Kiermaier jersey for you, Craig? That's the most important question that Jason and I've been asking.
Still not doing
still
it.
Still not yet.
It's the reason I unfortunately still will never buy a Springer jersey because I just can't forget the Astros shit. I love him as a Blue Jay. I will never say anything bad about that man because I also think he might be one of the ones that, you know, wasn't exactly listening to the bang, bang, bang. It's the baseball culture of his face. It's like, you know, I love him as he's a teammate here and everything like that, but that doesn't mean I got to go turn around and buy a jersey. So maybe it's the fact that I'm pushing 40 and I'm just disgruntled at this point, I guess. I don't know.
We'll get you a bobblehead, man. That'll be a little bit easier.
There it is. Double K bobbleheads. So
we're working on that.
I almost bought that Joe Carter one during the auction night the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Anybody see it?
Yeah.
No,
$93 for 93.
Yep. It's basically what it was by the time you added shipping and handling and everything for me in here in the States.
Oh, man.
So I could buy it, though. I was one of the very few Blue Jay giveaways I could actually donate my money to if I wanted to.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was available outside of Ontario.
So, yeah, because usually a lot of those things aren't, especially even when I go to the ball games, I go to type in where I'm from and it's like, yeah, go fuck all the things.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But hey, like I said, things could be worse, but they had some cool giveaways. Did you guys happen to see the stuff that was on that? That one guy that was doing the actual painting for the jerseys and everything was really cool. He did a Bo Bichette where he took on the numbers, kind of like painted them in. Had like an actual like artist rendition of Bo Bichette and everything on the back of a Bo Bichette jersey. And then it was a Calvin Gausman one the same way. So
interesting.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ones they had. It was a golf experience, which I thought was really cool with.
Yeah. And then a couple golf packages, one with like a PGA pro Adam Hadwin. There was like a nice
Martin.
Recycled quilt or blanket.
Okay.
They were giving away chairs from the Rogers Center renovation. That.
Oh, yeah.
The old seats from the 500 level.
Yeah.
Well, that's Sky Dome on it, Ken.
Yeah, it is the Sky Dome, Craig. We're not going to discuss this again. It's the Sky Dome. But apparently,
with you wholeheartedly. I just had to tell you that the until this year, the 500 level seats actually had the Sky Dome logo and everything still on them.
No, that's not entirely true.
Yes.
So all the 500 level seats were original seats from when was it? 89 was it or? When it what right?
89?
The original seats and the original 89. Seats had the big yellow D. If you had an aisle seat, you would have had the big letter D on the side of your seat there, right? But then when it went from Sky Dome to Rogers Center, they got like an iron plate or a stainless steel plate, and they put the plate over the D. So now you can go in with a chisel and you can chisel off that stainless plate and the D is still there beautifully. But yeah, they did cover up those Ds. Domer.
Why am I blanking on the mascot? What was the Domer mascot? The turtle.
I got a stuffy of them upstairs.
Perfect.
Wow.
I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie. That's a Blue Jays memorabilia collectible you will never find anywhere else again, right?
Well, what I find interesting about this whole thing with the I'm going to call it Skydome renovation, is that Grant was telling me that only 30% of the renovation has actually been completed, that there's actually way more that's getting done. I was like, it looks beautiful just for the 30% that they did do, right? So I can't imagine once they finish the rest of the 70%. Oh, man. It's going to be really awesome.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, the whole lower half is actually what's getting redone is the main piece next, right?
Essentially everything underneath, like the 200 level. Right, so the whole 100 level concourse, the whole 100 level bowl, and whatever is underneath that. Gone. See you later.
All I heard is my seats where I always usually sit on the third baseline, where it's kind of like where the cutout starts going toward the foul pole. Those seats are actually going to be turning in the right direction. Because they kind of face like left field there.
Yeah.
So keeps it interesting. Yeah, aren't as weird as seats I had at Fenway Park, though.
Oh, yeah. Where was yours?
The some of the seats in Fenway Park, you know, it's built up as baseball mecca, right? Regardless if you're a Red Sox fan or not, it's just like you want to take a time warp to baseball days of yesteryear, right? You go to Fenway Park or you go to Wrigley Field. There's seats in the outfield at Fenway Park that are like basically facing the other direction away from home.
And then there's all the. There's also seats right behind home plate or around like the infield where you'll have a big, you know, like I-beam or a big, you know, iron beam supporting the upper facade, right? Right in front of you. So you want to watch the game, you're obstructed going like this, view. You're going like this, right? You see on your ticket, obstructed view, but they still charge you the same.
Nope.
Yeah, they still... Same $300 seat that's like handed down from generation to generation, right?
Oh man. Oh boy.
Good stuff. At least we don't have those kind of problems at the Skydome, you know, just saying.
We do not.
So anyways, I think it's that time, boys, that we do picks to flick. So
All right.
As we wrap up the show here every week, Graham, we do a quick little competition amongst us for bragging rights. And right now, unfortunately, Ken is running away with us with no problems and no questions asked. Right now, I got 3 wins. Jason's got 4 wins. Our guest spot has 3 wins and Ken has 8. So the scoreboard card's looking a little bit like a Blue Jays game at Cincinnati on Sunday. So I'm going to let you be the tiebreaker here, and then we're going to carry over Jason's pick of George Springer to this week because he could not make it because of Little League, ironically, this evening. So I know that's not odd to anybody at all. But last week we had, I'm going to list these names off, and you, Graham, are going to help me decide a winner, and I have a strange feeling I already know who this is. We had Dalton Varsho, George Springer, Davis Schneider, and Brandon Belt as our picks last week. Out of those 4 gentlemen, who do you think had the best week of the last Blue Jays week in baseball?
Run through the names again.
Dalton Varsho, George Springer,
Varsho, baby,
Schneider,
all the way.
And Brandon Belt.
Hitting bombs.
Oh, my God.
Hitting bombs, dropping the bunts, stealing bees.
Bunt might be the most... Yeah, that bun might be one of the coolest things that I've seen in a while because they had no effing clue that was coming. It's just like, oh, by the way, ding.
And he's built like a tank, too. Like, he's not
short
long,
and
lean,
stocky.
Speed,
he
and he's
is.
Not like people beef, but he's like,
Oof. Yep. Sure and stocky, but the thing that killed me about that the most, too, is the Phillies knew him better probably than a lot of their opponents lately. At least he played in the National League with the Diamondbacks the last however many years. You would think he did that to him once or twice, especially last year when there was still a shift. Yeah. Maybe they didn't shift him. That's the only thing I can think of. Well, so on that note, it is your turn, Graham, to pick the Toronto Blue Jay that might perform the best until next week's episode at this same time, Monday night next week at 7 p.m. The only person that is off the board is George Springer because, like I said, when we don't have somebody on, we carry over the pick from the previous week. So it is your moment to think. Give us who you
position
think
players
the best
only?
And give us a preview. It can be anybody.
Anybody.
Still on the roster.
Still won't sway me. I'll go with number 11, shortstop, Bo Bichette. He's back. He's got the attitude.
There it is. Get one for the go. Get one spot.
What was it? The triple right out of the gate. Follow that up with the dinger. So, you know, he had at least one home run out when he was there rehabbing in Buffalo. So, he's back. He's ready to play ball. And, you never hear the guy talk. So, he lets his playing speak. And it's time to play ball. That's what you do in September, October is play ball. He's a ball player. So, I expect him to play some good ball.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those lead by example kind of leaders on the field, and not the some of the other. I think that's one of the coolest things the Blue Jays have. They have guys like Bo that can lead by example, and they have plenty of other guys, just like Springer and all the other company. They have a very good mix of leadership in that clubhouse, which usually spells good things. But no, that is a solid pick, and I think he is going to play like his hair's on fire the rest of the season at this point. So. Ken, your pick, my friend.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with a very strong player that I think is going to be performing well, and that's Paul DeJong. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm sorry, Paul. Don't mean that.
There it is.
I'm actually going to go with Snyder this time. I think there's something about it where I think he liked how he was performing in Boston. He has been okay. Like, he's still pretty good, but I think there's going to be a part of him that's like he's itching to get back and trying to get that momentum that he first started off when we first brought him in. So I'm going to go with Snyder on that one.
There you go. So I'm going to go because I have an affinity for catchers, apparently. And I think Danny Jansen is going to be the one that goes off this week for the hot hand behind the dish. And I do think that the pitchers that he's going to be there are going to be on the mound this week actually means he's going to probably play a few more games, especially when he's the fresh of the two catchers, too. I'm thinking that Mr. Danny Jansen is going to be the one that has a nice good week over this next piece here.
He is so vital to this team, man. Like honestly, like when we had him last year where he was gone for like almost half the season. And when he came back, like you looked at his stats, you're like, holy crap. Well, can you imagine what his stats would have been like if he played a full season? Right. So, yes, his batting average is low, but
if you want, because he's actually, if you look at how many games he played on the field last season, Kennedy, how many played this year so far? It actually totals up to be basically a whole season.
Yeah.
And the guy's a god.
It is. Like he's produced, he's done so well. He's been had a lot of clutch hits for us, a lot of clutch home runs, let's hope we can get that batting average up to, if we can get it to maybe like 250 or so, it'd be very nice. Be one less thing to worry about and keep hitting those dingers, man. That's all we need.
There you go. So, Graham, this is the point of the show where we always give any of our guests the shameless self-promoting bit. So is there anybody you want to give a shout out to or anything you want to use in this last few minutes of time here on the show to just get something off your chest? This is your time, my friend.
Thanks to Craig. Thanks to Ken. Thanks to all the great listeners. Thanks for the great questions. And Brandt, Doug Peters. There was, good time just flew by. Was a little bit. Had a little bit of back sweat, had a couple butterflies in the tummy, but no, those all dissipated, right away. It's a fun hour, and hope to do it again sometime.
Yeah, so hang on before when we go off the line here, after Ken does the closeout and everything, we'll have a quick chat and whatnot before you wander off. But that's it. Again, unless you have anything you want to add or anything you need to get off and any topics we left out or anything that you want to touch on this evening.
No, I just wanted to say it was really awesome to hear the Jay Bird watching listeners really interacting with us. It made this episode so much fun. And, keep those comments coming clean, please, while we're doing an episode. And we'll make sure to put you on here as well and giving you a special shout out. So, like I said, shout out to Doug Peters and Brandt and all these other guys who are chiming in asking awesome questions. But aside from that, no, it was a great episode today.
And on that note, if you wanted to get in on this action and have a nice chat with all of us, make sure you join us live 7:00 Eastern every Monday evening. We are Jay Bird Watching, and we are here to talk and chit chat with all Toronto Blue Jays fans on whatever chit chat topics come up. Like I said, we are the barroom chat that is Toronto Blue Jays, fandom and everything. So make sure you join us. We are also the official Toronto Blue Jays podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of the Fan Side Network of Media. And make sure you get our action anywhere you can get your podcasting pleasures for, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Music, all the wonderful places you can listen in on podcasts. And make sure you interact with us on Twitter and all the other fun social media places. I know Twitter isn't what it used to be, but Blue Jays Twitter, come on, keep hanging out. We'll have a good time. So, Blue Jays fans, once again, it's always a pleasure having you. And I guess it's that time of the evening, Ken and Graham, if you haven't gotten it, this is where we do two claps and a Ric Flair. Uh-huh. 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Rance Molinix.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.